Hello, my friends. Welcome again to the DDP. It's the 23rd day of April, and I'm Paul. Today, we're going to close the 11th chapter. Feels like we've been in the 11th chapter for a while. I checked my notes. It's because we've been in the 11th chapter for a while. We started at March the 17th, so over a month we've spent in this great 11th chapter. Now, we did take a week off there, so I have a little bit of an excuse. We took a week off on Holy Week to do other things, so we spent about 8 days there on Holy Week. But nonetheless, it's still been about a month, all told, of this journey through Luke chapter 11. It closes with verses 53 and 54. And as he said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him vehemently and to cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him and seeking to catch him in something he might say that they might accuse him. Okay, to be fair, it looks like we've had some scribal work done over the years on these two verses, because our earliest Greek is a little closer to the following in verse 53. And when he left there, the scribes and Pharisees began to assail him. So an indication that this assailing is something that happens ongoing after Jesus is moved on. And so this becomes sort of part of his ministry. And then in verse 54, let me reread it, lying in wait for him and seeking to catch him in something he might say that they might accuse him. But our early Greek has, they omit a few things. So it's a little closer to lying in wait for him to catch him in something that he might say. So there's no seeking and there's no accusing in our early Greek. Now, I just want to say that to be fair, because sometimes when these added words get put in here, it seems to make the Pharisees and scribes look more nefarious. They're seeking, they're accusing. But if those words weren't originally there, then maybe we've had a little bit of editing to paint the Pharisees and scribes in an even worse light. Now, I don't think they need much help in painting them in a pretty negative light, but I also want to be fair to say that the scribes and Pharisees are not this group of people who run around with beady little eyes looking to kill Jesus. They would have been the high class of religion in their day, and they would have been thought of by most average people on the street as a very clear picture of what it would look like if you were close to God. The reason Jesus is so different when people encounter him is that they don't see that in Jesus, but yet they feel closer to God being around Jesus. No man ever spoke like this man, they say. By whose authority is he able to do these things? He doesn't teach like those others teach. There was something about hearing him and being near him that made people feel the presence of the Father, but it didn't look right. He's accused of being a glutton and a winebibber. He's eating at the wrong places. He's having these visible public confrontations with scribes and Pharisees. So I say all of this because I want you to remember to not just automatically paint them in a negative light. With all that said, I am quite curious about that 53rd verse where it says they try to cross-examine him about many things. A cross-examination is typically more than one person examining or questioning one person, so three or four or five people questioning one person, and the number of questions coming at them is designed to fluster them, to get them to say something wrong, to bring out something they might otherwise would not have said. That's not shocking in this moment, but what is a little frustrating as a reader is, I don't know about you, but I kind of want a transcript of this. Like, I want to see where is it? What is it that Jesus says? What are they cross-examining? What are his responses? And so as I was preparing myself to read these verses to you today, I was thinking about that and sort of felt an impression. I won't blame the Holy Spirit. That's the best way I know to say that. But sort of felt an impression of the Spirit of like, I think maybe what we're to take away from the fact that God did not inspire Luke to tell us those cross-examinations, at least in very much detail, is that it's not important. It's not important what Jesus was questioned. It's not important maybe what he said. And maybe we sometimes put too much into trying to be right. And that maybe if we saw this detailed two or three chapter in a row cross-examination of Jesus, we do get little snippets of that in the New Testament, but not to this length. Maybe if we saw it, we would be convinced that if the Bible spends this much time with meticulous answers to mundane questions and honors the cross-examination of people bent on proving you wrong, if it honors it with the space of answering their questions, then maybe that's what we should do. Spend our time honoring every question, even if it's not asked in good faith, even if it's asked from a place of accusation or hatred. And I think the fact that it's not there, that the transcript does not exist, might be the Holy Spirit saying to us, life is not about getting the right answer to every question. It's not even about feeling like you have to have an answer to every question. Your opinion does not always matter, and it doesn't always matter that you land being quote-unquote right or wrong. Because a lot of times, if you landed and knew you were right, there's no room for you to change your mind anyway. And the journey of learning is changing our mind. The journey of wisdom is changing our mind. Would you want to meet a man in his 70s? Who hadn't changed his mind since his 20s? No, you might say it's honorable, but you wouldn't get much out of that guy. Wisdom is the ability to change your mind when it needs to change. And so maybe we don't get all the answers in these transcripts for that very reason. Verse 1, chapter 12. In the meantime, so this is happening simultaneously. When an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Watch out. Leaven is yeast. Watch out for the sprinkling in of the thing that the Pharisees hold dear. We'll dig into this and the next couple of verses tomorrow on the DDP. Have a great day. God bless.